I'll bet that hurt. Swing Low Sweet Chariot, courtesy of Mr. Phil Kagi and a very ambitious trombone player there. Good morning to you. 20 minutes after the hour. It's a Broken Road Radio Monday. And joining us now, as is his wont to do every Monday morning, virtually every Monday morning, Dr. Don Clark, Creation Moments board member and our resident biochemist. Don, good morning. How are things down in Garden Valley, Texas today?
Well, things are warming up. It's probably going to be in the mid-90s, if not a little higher today. So,
you haven't noticed any vibrations, any rolling around, any jolts in the earth under your feet, have you?
No, none whatsoever. Oh, okay. It's been pretty stable here.
Sharon, must be an Oklahoma phenomenon then, I guess.
I guess someone was... I keep looking at the USGS earthquake map and their comments... I would think California and then Alaska for frequency, but actually Oklahoma's number 2 or 3 right now.
I never would have known that.
Oh, wow.
In the 48, well, in the 50 states.
Yeah, Sharon Burgess.
Number 2 in the 48.
Sharon joins us from the Oklahoma City area, actually Edmond, Oklahoma, and filling in for David Allen Punt, who is gone today. Will be gone for a couple of weeks. He's off to Malawi in Africa for some adventures of his own on a missions trip. We'll hear back from him maybe once or twice here during the coming week. He's going to have to experiment and see what kind of internet connections he has and so forth. But it should work out. We'll hopefully talk to David. But Sharon, we're just delighted to have you with us, and thank you for doing this. Appreciate your good company. Sharon has a long broadcast background, even a formal education in broadcasting.
Ah, yes.
Yeah. And Don and has a... go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, long story for another day. I lost my day job a year ago, April, but I've been doing freelance voiceover, doing online compliance courses and training scripts and so forth for 20 years or so. But our connection was actually my first full-time job in radio after graduation was Marv Sparks, who was at WFCJ in the Dayton-Springfield area in Ohio. Yeah. So actually, and I found out that just this morning, you and I are both Buckeyes by birth.
Yes, I'm from Cincinnati. So, and I didn't realize Marv was he from Ohio originally?
Yes, yes.
Okay, well.
He was my station manager.
How do you feel about that, Don? You're dealing with Ohioans here today.
Well, I guess I'm outnumbered, you know.
Well, as long as he's not a Michigander, we're okay during football season.
Well, I'm originally from Louisiana, from New Orleans. So.
Oh, okay. The deep South. Then.
The
okay.
deep South, the yeah. deep South, yes.
We talk about science and faith and creationism and evolution and things such like that with Dr. Don just about every Monday. And just in case you don't know, we have a huge library of podcasts of our conversations with Dr. Don. If you look at the Broken Road Radio homepage, at the top, there's podcasts. And if you click on that, you'll see Dr. Don's name pop up. And if you click on that, you'll see everything in chronological order, together with brief introductions of the subject matter. And it just turned out to be a wonderful history of our time together. We've learned so much from you. We discovered another article here. This comes from UPI, from the news website. It's dated June the 9th. And they're talking about glaciers and melting ice, and you know we've talked about global warming many times, and the reason usually given is man-made carbon dioxide emissions, and it seems that there are new factors that keep creeping into the equation here. And Don, this article lists a new factor. Explain that one to us.
Well, this is in Antarctica, and there's a huge glacier called Thwaites Glacier, and some folks actually down here in Texas, in Austin, Texas, at the University of Texas, at the Geophysics Institute for Geophysics, have discovered, lo and behold, this glacier is melting because of volcanoes under it. The thermals that are obviously given off by the volcanoes. And they say this is rather unusual from the point of view that it looks like these volcanoes are giving off more heat than, let's say, a volcano, terrestrial volcano type of the heat that emanates from them. And so they are really this was an unexpected finding. They knew that there were some thermals down there, but they didn't realize that it was that they were this hot, mm-hmm. and that they were causing such a problem with these particular glacier. And there's probably more of them around the world where we have glaciers, and we're seeing some melting. So I wouldn't it wouldn't surprise me a bit that the techniques that were used to find these thermals and these volcanoes, that if those techniques are used in other areas, let's say in the Arctic, for example, where they're also claiming, oh, these glaciers are melting because of global warming or because of, end quote, climate change, mm-hmm. Aren't due to the same thing. And, not due to an atmospheric condition, but actually are due to what's happening underground.
Mm-hmm. Now, I guess we would argue against the idea that man has caused this. We may play some role, but that carbon dioxide emissions, actually the Earth has a tendency, a God-given ability to heal itself, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And we've talked about on this program, for example, increases in carbon dioxide actually get sucked up by the ocean. Mm-hmm. And get deposited in the ocean floor.
Yeah, they're actually huge whirlpools.
Carbonate.
Yeah. Yeah.
As well as the more CO2 you have, the more plants you have. So, of course, we don't want more plants on the earth because obviously plants give us food and we're looking for less food, not more. So, carbon dioxide is good. And mm-hmm. it's not bad for the atmosphere. And the effect, this whole argument that CO2 actually causes this climate change is a fallacious argument. It's been shown that actually CO2 has less of an effect on temperature and the in quote greenhouse effect than H2O does, that mm-hmm. is water. So the more water you have in the atmosphere, the more it has a thermal blanketing effect that's greater than CO2.
Mm-hmm. Would you concede to climate change then? But maybe it always changes,
It's constantly changing. Mm-hmm. Our climate goes through cycles. We have 50-year cycles, we have 100-year cycles, plus it gets warmer, it gets colder, it gets warmer, it gets colder. I mean, you probably remember when they were saying, oh, we're going to go through another mini ice age, mm-hmm. Because the temperatures were getting so cold. And then the temperatures started warming up, and then they said, oh, well, we're going through a global warming, and we got to do something about it. And now, it feels like it's getting cold again.
Well, I understand. For the last, 15 years or so, the average temperature has actually cooled.
It hasn't changed, mm-hmm. basically. It hasn't changed. All over, if you take the global temperature, it hasn't changed. Mm-hmm. So are things, happening with our atmosphere, with our environment, with our climate? Well, probably. And obviously, we're seeing some fantastic storms, and this past winter, with the vortexes, the vortex in the Arctic that we had, caused havoc here in the U.S. and other places. Mm-hmm. But these are normal cycles. They're not anything abnormal about them. And most importantly, what we do as humans is having such a little effect on anything that to blame it on us is pure political.
Well, we have kind of a tendency to put ourselves as human beings in the center of things and elevate ourselves and figure, well, it's not only our responsibility, it's our duty to fix things. And rather than working within God's system, we tend to buck it. And think, well, we'll take it from here, and make this change and tweak this change and reduce these emissions and all to very little effect, actually.
Well, and it also comes down to the point that to acknowledge that there is a God takes us out of control.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it makes us accountable to someone else beyond even the environmental scope. If we acknowledge there's a God who is ultimately in charge of all of this, then we are accountable to him, and mankind in general doesn't want to be accountable to anyone but himself. Mm-hmm. That's part of our sinful nature.
Well, that's original sin all over again, all over and over and over and over again. It just keeps happening. Don, we've talked many times about the state of the earth at the time of the flood. And a lot of the things that scientists read now, levels and temperatures and measurements of forests and so forth, date back to that time. Can you explain, I know this is a big topic to take on right now, but tell us about how that rain could have happened with the Great Flood.
Yes. How the rain could have happened.
Well, you talked about uniformity of climate and so forth, yeah.
Yeah, there's a couple of theories. one is that there was actually at one point in time, ice bilayer all the way around the Earth. This theory was brought forth by Dr. Carl Barr here in Texas. And perhaps a meteor or something struck this ice bilayer and caused it to rain, caused it to collapse, and that produced the rain.
This would have been a floating layer of ice or ice particles?
No, it was,
a bilayer.
He postulates that it was actually crystalline ice, mm-hmm. as just a sphere, around the Earth in the upper atmosphere.
Okay, upper atmosphere, okay.
Yeah, and so, that collapsed and created the rain. What initially precipitated it is anybody's guess. And whether or not that's accurate is still anybody's guess. But the Bible actually says that not only did it rain for 40 days and 40 nights, but water came from the deep. So under the earth, which means that that water, instead of being cool, would actually have been warm. And we have some relatively new evidence that, there's this big pocket of water pretty near our Earth's core that has recently been found, and that's got to be pretty hot. And so obviously the water that came from under the Earth would have been warmer. It would have warmed the oceans a bit, and that would have itself pumped more water into the atmosphere, because obviously the warmer the ocean is, the more energy you have to cause evaporation from the oceans. And that is a good explanation for what caused the ice age. And how did the ice age even get started? Because without a lot of moisture in the atmosphere, without a lot of precipitation, you're not going to have an ice age. And so there had to be something that got the ball rolling. And so there's many in the creation world, for example, that believe that the ice age was a direct result of the flood and other things that were going on at the time of the flood. And we've talked about on this program the breaking up of the one man landmass that is called Pangaea into the continents that we have today. And if that happened, which would be logical, if that happened at the time of the flood, then you'd have tremendous volcanic activity that would take place, which would be pumping a lot of dust into the atmosphere, upper atmosphere, which would then also block the sun, which would make the land cooler than it is today, that would then also precipitate it snowing quite a bit, because the landmass would be cool, the oceans would be warm, you'd have a lot of moisture going into the air, precipitating as snow, and forming the glaciers and the ice age over a period of time. So
you talked at one point that there was a uniform climate from pole to pole, so regardless of latitude, it was substantially the same, and you attribute that to this layer of this cloak of water around the Earth, don't you?
Well, it is, yeah, it's possible. Another theory, yeah. It's possible that that is indeed the explanation. And, of course, you had one landmass. You didn't have the multiple landmasses that we have today.
Pangaea, it was called.
And, you know, we have evidence that even in the Arctic, there is, you know, there's evidence that, gee, this was warm at one point in time because we got tropical plants. Mm-hmm. And how do you get tropical plants there unless it was either somewhere else that was warmer, or, you know, even it was warmer there, you know, back then. That's at least one explanation, that there was a comet that, you know, that struck this particular thing. The other, another explanation that set this whole thing off was there was some type of astronomical body, and there's some evidence that it could have been Mars that had a close encounter with Earth. And if you go back in Earth's history, every ancient history I'm talking about, every 700 years, there's this catastrophe that starts happening on Earth. And it's directly linked to the Red Planet. Directly linked to Mars having a close encounter with Earth. Well, at the time of the flood, if it really came close to the Earth, it would have caused tremendous tidal wave disruptions, and could have started this whole mm-hmm. thing that, you know, I just described, the breaking up
from outside of energy into this closed system that we call the Earth and its climate and everything else. And a massive injection of energy would kick off changes.
Right. Yeah. And indeed, we know that, well, okay, we look at the length of our year, you know, today is 365 and a quarter days. The length of the year, either the ancients didn't know how to count, or the year was actually shorter during you know, the ancient times, and both the Chinese and the many ancient calendars, including the Hebrew calendar, which is still on a 360-day mm-hmm. Cycle, is you know, where did the 360 days come from? They didn't just make it up, so it had to be that our year was shorter then. So it's possible that we exchanged momentum, angular momentum energy with Mars during that time, and there were, you know, obviously there were tremendous mm-hmm. Upheavals here on Earth as far as geological upheavals because of the energy.
Mm-hmm. So the speed of the Earth in its orbit around the Sun actually would have slowed as a result of that by just a tad, to give us the 5 day, 5 1/4 day difference.
The rotation mm-hmm. of the Earth and all of that could mm-hmm. have. Could have been affected by this close encounter of Mars. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I mean, you know, these are, you can go back, and we have the mathematics now to at least go back and say, was there a time in history when this happened? And it looks like, yes, indeed, there was. And certainly there are ancient stories written to say that, you know, all kinds of things were happening in this 700-year cycle. Mm-hmm. And civilization actually became quite nervous about it. Mm-hmm. So there are, you know, very interesting stories. Are there stories? Are there fact? I tend to believe that they're, you know, that they're fact. Some of the myths may have come from, you know, that. Something major obviously happened during the time of the flood to initiate it. It had to be something, you know, major. There's one group of people said there was a giant meteor that hit the Earth. Another group that says no, it was probably Mars. In actual fact, we don't really know, something had to obviously precipitate this drastic change in our global environment.
You know, and now we have this monolithic science position that we tend to almost make science a god. I mean, we rely on science, and science looks back at our ancestors, those ancients who determined the 360-day year, and say, well, what did they know? They were primitives. And I keep thinking, I think they knew a lot more then we give them credit for. I mean, we're standing on their shoulders. They got us to where we are. They laid the foundation. And just to automatically assume that they were in error, is a dubious thing to do. Now, looking at today's article, they didn't know about these underground volcanoes. Now there's this other huge factor in the global warming equation. We didn't know that. How much else don't we know?
Oh, we don't know a lot. I mean, it's it's like the more we know, the more we don't know. That's the thing about, you know, science. And I have to applaud these authors for this paper because they do make these scientific... a good scientific article will always end with, this is what we know, but you know what? We need to study this a whole lot more to really understand it. And that's exactly what they did. So I was glad to see that. When you finally get to the conclusion that I know everything and this is the way it is and don't try to, you know, rebut this, that's when we get into trouble with science. And there's unfortunately a lot of scientists that are that have that behavior.
Indeed. Sharon, have you seen climate changes in the Oklahoma area? How long have you been in Oklahoma?
I'm thinking this is we're going into our 13th year.
Okay, well, that's not that long.
I don't know. I mean, this was a wetter spring than usual, and I always hesitate to say it because last year they said, well, it's been a very quiet tornado season, and then in a week and a half we had two F5s and an F4, but this year it's been cooler and wetter, and really no tornadoes to speak of thus far this year.
Yeah, and I know that there's a lot of concern nationally about more severe weather events, more of them and more severe, you know, stronger weather events. And yet, I guess the prediction for the hurricane season is that there will actually be fewer storms than there were, say, back in the 50s, when there was a real rush of severe hurricane weather along the eastern seaboard and through the Gulf of Mexico. So sometimes we take a very short view of what this earth gives us to see and to experience. The creation's a marvelous thing, and we're just really beginning to scratch the surface of all this. Is that a fair statement, Don?
Well, I think so. And modeling climate change is extremely complex. I mean, it takes super powerful computers, and you have to set boundary conditions, which means you are assuming certain things. And if you haven't taken the right measurements or you haven't taken them for long enough, then you can't set the boundary conditions, and even the most powerful computers, you know, having difficulty modeling everything because it's finite element analysis is what they're doing, but on an engineering, thermal engineering type of scale. And so you're putting in all kinds of, you know, information. And if one of your assumptions is wrong, then your model's wrong. You know, you just can't get good information if your model is wrong. But it's not to say that we shouldn't be doing those type of things. We should and should try to understand the world around us. I think that's one of the joys of being a scientist, is that we can explore, you know, God's creation and say, wow, what a wonderful creator we have. And this place is really complex. The universe is really complex. We can't understand it all. And we could live for, you know, hundreds of thousands of years and still not understand it and still have plenty to play with.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah,
we should rejoice.
Indeed.
And say that, okay, we found all the answers now. Well, I guess we're going to be bored the rest of our, you know, existence. I don't think we're going to be bored. And whether you're looking far out into space or whether you're looking, you know, in a microscope, in an electron microscope, or, you know, looking into the realm of the cell, there's still plenty to explore and plenty to explain. And yeah, God has left us with, you know, I look at these things and say, you know, wow, this is amazing. This is amazing. It's amazing creator that we have, and amazing that we're even alive.
And tying this into the notion of the ancients, those who came before, there's also a sense that we're no longer in touch with the earth, with the creation, in the same way that they were. For example, you know, we rely on, well, now I rely on computer. I can click and see what the weather forecast is. I can get the temperature and the barometric pressure. I can get wind direction and speed. I can get all that stuff through instrumentation that's placed all around us. You know, but there's still Laplanders up in the north of Finland that can sniff a snowstorm 3 days away. there are people groups around the Earth that, can tell you what the weather is more reliably than all the computer models put together, which tend to disagree. So we tend to be now out of sync, I think, with God's cycles and with his timing, whereas those ancients were very much in tune to it. And
their life, you know, depended on it.
Yeah.
We've built ourselves beautiful caves, mm-hmm. and you know, so we've got the comforts that our life no longer depends on what's really happening outside, except mm-hmm. you know, when we have catastrophes like major tornadoes, for example, that come through and level a city, mm-hmm. like it did in Joplin, for example. For the most part, we're kind of oblivious. I mean, we look at the weather to say, am I going to wear a coat or a sweater or a raincoat, or do I need to take my umbrella, mm-hmm. You know, to go to work? But that's about as far as it goes.
Well, I get tickled every morning when my wife asks me, what's the temperature? And I have to run into the computer and I'll look at the computer instead of opening the door, sticking my nose outside and saying, well, it's comfortable or it's not.
Right.
And I want to see, yeah, that.
It's muggy. It's a muggy day today,
yeah,
here in Texas.
That's all you need to know. Dr. Don Clark, again, member of the board of Creation Moments. They have a marvelous website. It's creationmoments.com. And there's a wealth of resources there for you for Bible studies and churches and just your own personal study of this whole science versus faith and creation versus evolution question. I'll tell you unabashedly, they hold to a young Earth creationist position, and it's fascinating to learn on that website how much science there is to back that up that you never have access to in the mass media. And it's well worth your time. You can link there from us at BrokenRoadRadio.com. There's a simple link over on the right-hand side of the homepage to Creation Moments, and I recommend a trip there, a visit there every now and then. Update yourself on some of the latest research. Don, how's the grape growing going down there? Don raises grapes. He's in the fledgling Texas wine business down there.
Well, the grapes are growing. I think we lost some of the buds during the freeze that we had, mm-hmm. the late spring freeze. But the vines are... they're growing too fast, right, basically.
No, uh-oh.
It's the nature of growing grapes here. The conditions are probably too good. Mm-hmm. And so
does that mean more leaves and fewer grapes, or does it mean a whole bunch of grapes when you say they're really growing?
Well, no, it means just more work out in the vineyard to keep things
pruning.
Manageable. Yeah, I'm pruning. And mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to get, it's a interesting balance, which we haven't learned yet, of how many leaves, how many vines to leave, and how many, you know, to take away. They recommend that you only have like one leaf layer over your clusters. Mm-hmm. And when you've got vines that are just growing like by leaps and bounds, that's a lot of work to keep that, you know, keep that in that ratio.
Yeah.
I mean, someplace in the, you know, high desert or in, you know, California, it's just like, well, we won't even prune our vines. Mm-hmm. We'll just, you know, they get the right mix. But here, yeah, you gotta keep on top of them.
Okay.
Well, must give you a much deeper perspective of the vine dresser and
absolutely.
The pruning process. Don't you love the way God uses the everyday things around us to extrapolate truth from the Bible in what we do every day?
Absolutely, and that's how we should be looking at science. I mean, you know, it's we should be glorifying the Creator instead of the created,
yes.
You know, everything that we do. And so he gives us plenty of opportunity to do that.
Indeed, Don. We'll look forward to a conversation next Monday. Take care of yourself and your grapes.
No, thank you.
Have you tried talking to them or singing to them, maybe? Or
No, I haven't. Maybe that's what I should do, yes. Well, sing them to sleep a little bit.
You should take Broken Road Radio out in the vineyards.
Well, there you go.
I can put some outdoor speakers and just play Broken Road all the time.
Probably get a note from your neighbor, I imagine, though, on that one. So. Don, take care. We'll see you next week.
All right. Very good.